So today's daf is daf pei dalet. We're going to start on pei gimel amid beis, and we're looking for the words lazeh bepesach v'lazeh beshulshul. So if you count up from the bottom of daf pei gimel amid beis, count up, let's see, about 10 lines, and the first word in the line is hainu. You have that, hainu, and the last word in the line is lazeh. Okay then? So that's on pei gimel amid beis, 10 lines up from the bottom. Got it. Okay?
I'm gonna go to my car to charge the phone.
Yeah. So the case is lazeh bepesach v'lazeh b'shilshul. So we're talking about a situation where you have two rishuyos. Generally speaking, we're talking about a mirpeset, which means, let's say, an upper floor, and you have a chatzer on the ground floor, and between them, there's either a boulder or a pillar, and the question is, that third rishu, so to speak, does it belong to the fellow on top or the fellow on the bottom? So in the case of lazeh b'shilshul v'lazeh b'pesach, what happens is that you have a pillar that's 10 tefachim high, and therefore those who live on the upper floor, one floor up from the ground, they have easy access to that pillar or to that boulder, and that's called Pesach. For the other fellow, it's a more complicated situation. He needs to do shilshul. Shilshul means when you have to like throw something down. Actually, let me correct myself. In order that we don't have to backtrack too much for yesterday's daf, let's fast forward to lazeh b'shilshul v'lazeh b'zrika, which is the next line down. Okay then, so I stand corrected. We're going to start, because otherwise, lazeh b'shilshul v'lazeh b'zrika. Now in this case, both the members of the chatzer on the ground floor, as well as the members of the upper floor, they're both in a situation where it's difficult to get access. It's a little bit of a challenge to get access to this pillar. From the perspective of the chatzer that's on the ground floor, you need zrika. In other words, in order to land something on top of the boulder, you'd have to throw it. It's too high up because it's more than 10 tefachim high, and therefore you'd have to throw it. From the perspective of the, let's call it the mirpeses, the upper floor, the aliyah, then you need shilshul. Shilshul means you have to throw it downwards. So again, what's important here to realize is that both of the so-called chatzeros, meaning the chatz on the bottom and the mirpeses on the top, both have a challenging access to this pillar or this boulder. And on this case, we have machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav, Omer Rav, Shnei Masurim. Rav says that since this third rishus, so to speak, this boulder or this pillar, is difficult in its access to both of the two chatzeros, in inverted commas, meaning the chatzer on top and the chatzer on the bottom, is therefore both are asurim. Meaning that according to Rav, you would need that one of the two, either the upper floor or the ground floor, one of them would have a superior situation. It would be more noach, it would be more easier for him or for them to get access. But if they're all equal, then one chatzah generates an eser on the other, which means they're going to need an eruv where they both join in order to permit a tiltul from their respective chatzeros onto this pillar. Shmuel Amar Nosin Moso Lezesh B'Shilshul. Shmuel says it's a lot easier to throw something down and it lands right below you than to... than to throw something up, which is the zriko. And therefore, lozeh tashmisho benachas, for the person who's on the upper floor to throw down onto the pillar, that's called nachas. That's something that's relatively easy. Ulozeh tashmisho bekoshe. But from the perspective of the chotzer on the bottom, to throw it all the way on top onto this boulder, that's more challenging. That's more uncomfortable. And therefore, says Shmuel, we have a principle called Dovash Tashmisha Lozeh Benachas. The Lozeh Bekoshe, Nosin Oso Lozeh Shetashmisha Benachas. And in this case, the word Nachas here is a relative term. In other words, when we compare Shulshul on the one side of the balance and Zrika on the other side, when we compare the two, Shulshul to Zrika, Shulshul is relatively benachas. Rav is not willing to accept the relativity theory. He thinks that once you're in this category of either Shulshul or Zrika, meaning you're out of the category of what we call Pesach. Pesach means it's right there at eye level, you know, Shoveh v'Shoveh. Once you're out of that category, then all the rest are equal. You know, we don't differentiate between Shulshul and Zrika. Tnan, we have our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Anshei Chotzer V'Anshei Mirpeses. So you have those on the bottom floor, the ground floor, and those on the upper floor. Sheshachachu V'lo Irvu. And they did not make an Irv together. Kol Shegavoa Asora Tfochen L'Mirpeses. If this, we'll call it a pillar, is more than 10 Tfochim high, then L'Mirpeses. Then we assume it's easy access for the merpeses. Pachos mikan, if on the other end the pillar or the mound is called the tail is less than 10 tefachim high, then the Mishnah says lachotzer. Then we give it over to the chotzer, which means that the chotzer on the bottom is allowed to put something on top of this amud, even in the absence of an eruv. Kasalka, Daikli Gemara thinks at this point, my mirpeses, what is the word mirpeses? A balcony or a porch, what does it mean in our Mishnah? And here we start the daf for today, that's Pei Dalet Omen Aleph. B'nei Aliyah. It means that you have a higher floor, and if you go down from that higher floor, let's say with a ladder, from one of the various entrances, meaning the various doors of the various flats, the apartments on that aliyah, you go down an elevator, a half a flight, you go down a ladder, and you end up on the mirpeses. Umay karu le mirpeses. So you'll ask me, why do you call it a porch? Usually you go straight out of your house into the porch. And the answer is, Mishuf, because the kasalki bimer peses, because they use this mirpeses as a way of getting up to their apartments. Meaning, let's say they'll climb a ladder from ground floor up to the mirpeses, and from the mirpeset they're climbing up to the aliyah, meaning to their various entrances, you know, various doors into their respective apartments. So now, according to the way the Gemara understands our Mishnah, if the tail, this mound or this pillar is 10 tefachim high, coming up from the ground, and from the aliyah, let's say if you open up a window in your aliyah, it's less than 10 tefachim to the mirpeset, so the Bnei Aliyah will now get access to the merpeset in a derech that's called shilshul. Bnei Achatz, on the other hand, they have to use zrika. And Alma, we're going to derive from our Mishnah that kol lazeb shilshul, lazeb zrika, noso lazeb shilshul. Right? The Mishnah says that if the pillar is 10 tefachim high, then we grant it to the Bnei Ha'aliyah, in this case, which means the Merpeses. And this would support Shmuel's view that if you have two chatzeros that are vying for the third reshus, and it's easier for the shilshal one who's going from the top down to the bottom to get access to this mound, as opposed to the bottom chotzer, which is bezrika, then we grant it, we single it out for the person who, for that chotzer that has shilshal. And that's exactly what it says in the Mishnah. And the Gemara answers, no, that's not the pshat in the Mishnah. But kira omar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says the following, that when it says in the Mishnah the word mirpeses, that's la'osam hadarim b'mirpeses. It doesn't refer to the Bnei Aliyah who are above the Merpeses, but rather to the people who are directly on the same floor where you open up the door of your apartment and you end up on the Merpeses, like a normal classic Merpeses, which means that from the perspective of the Chotzer, which is called the Merpeses Chotzer, which includes all those apartments, all those flats that spill into a common Merpeset, from that perspective, it's a Pesach. And Rav Huna said this in a slightly different context later on, but we're going to use it here, Hachinam will use it here to explain the resha of our Mishnah, that the tail belongs to, not to Bnei Aliyos, but rather to Bnei Merpeses, because they just walk out of their flats, and immediately they're on the Merpeset. And that's called the Oson Hadarim B'Merpeset. So they have a Pesach that opens up directly into the Merpeset, they don't have to go up or down, and the tail is now standing from the chutzner all the way up 10 tfachim, or more than 10 tfachim. And it reaches the level of the merpeses. And therefore, assuming that tail is very close to the merpeses, let's say it's within 4 tfachim, so they have easy access to the tail. And that's why the Mishnah says that this tail goes to the merpeses. So again, since, just to review, the tail is standing in the chotzer, it is 10 tfachim or more high, but it's shoveh, it's equal to the height of the merpeset, if you count from the ground up to the height of the merpeset. Or perhaps the merpeset is a little bit lower, a little bit higher, but it's certainly within 10 tfachim. That's why the Mishnah says that this tail belongs to the merpeset, not to the chotzer, because the bnei merpeset have easy access, that's called Tashmisho Benachas, to this tail. The Bnei Achatz, on the other hand, have a more of a difficult challenge to get use of this tail, because the tail is 10 tefachim above ground level, and they are located on ground level. So the Gemara now is going to raise an objection to this answer. Ihachi, if we're really talking about those people who live on the same level as the Merpeses, is Ema Seifa. Let's take a look at the Seifa of our Mishnah. And there it says, with regard to the tail, if it's Pachos Mikan, if it's less than 10 Tfachim from the ground, is then it belongs Lechotzer. In other words, the tail now is shaykh to the Chotzer, not to the Merpeses. And the Bnei Achotzer are allowed to now throw something onto this tail. So Gemara asks, Amai, why is it only the chotzer on the bottom floor that has easy access to the tail and not to the exclusion of the merpeses? After all, the merpeses is not that high up. And therefore, the distance between the merpeses and the tail, in terms of the height of the tail, is less than 10 tfachim. There's not a 10 tfachim height distance from the tail to the merpeset. And therefore, since the members of what we call before the aliyah, those different apartments, they go out to the merpeset mamish, straight out to the merpeset. And if that be the case, it's not a situation where the merpeset and the aliyah are separated by 10 tfachim. You go right out from your apartment directly onto the merpeset. Is therefore the Bnei Merpeset can use the tail, this mound, binochius, with relative comfort. And therefore that should be a case of Lazeb Pesach. And the Gemara thinks that if the Merpeset is on, you know, something that you walk straight out of your apartment and onto the Merpeset, like I call that a classic porch, and then the tail is not far away from the Mirpeset, and both the Mirpeset and the Chotzer on the bottom, on the ground floor, have easy access to this pillar, to this tail. So why is it that we're gonna grant and single out this tail for the Mirpeset? We should say they're both Osir because they both have the exact same access to the tail. So where answers my lechotzer, what does the Mishnah mean when it says lachotzer? We assumed that lachotzer means exclusively lachotzer, that we grant and direct the tail for the chotzer to the exclusion of the repeset. No, that's not so. Af lechotzer. What it means is that the access to this tail in this case is both for the Mirpeset and the Chotzer, even for the Chotzer. And the reason for that is because it's within 10 tefachim of the karka. And therefore, Shnei Masurim, as we said before, because if it's a Pesach for both of them, and they have equal access, then we generate Yisra on both of them. The Gemara says, Hochinam Mistabra, this answer, which is going to defend Rav, as we said, is logical. In other words, even if not for the fact that we had a kasha, an objection to Rav, we would still probably interpret the Mishnah in that way. And why is that so? Why does the Mishnah seem to indicate that the word lechotzer means af lechotzer, and both are asurim? And the answer is, midiktani seifa, because the seifa, the Mishnah, qualifies the resha, but medvar mamurim, when do we say that this third reshus, which is 10 tefachim high, belongs to the Mirpeses? That's bismucha. That's only if the tail is very, very close in its proximity to the Mirpeses, which means it's within 4 tefachim of the Mirpeses, and then it's tashmisho noach, it's very comfortable for the Bnei Mirpeses, and therefore belongs to them. Aval bimufleches, if the distance between the tail and the Mirpeses is more than 10 tefachim, then afil gavah sora tefachim, even if the tail was 10 tefachim high, which means it's almost at the level of the, straight away from the level of the Mirpeses, nevertheless lechotzer. The Mishnah says it belongs to the chotzer, because for the Bnei Mirpeses to get access to this tail, which is more than 4 tefachim away, they have to jump onto the Mirpeset. They can't stretch out their arm more than 4 tefachim to reach this tail. And the Gemara now asks, my lech chotzer, what does it mean that now the tail is designated for the use of the chotzer? Ilei melechotzer v'shari, if the Mishnah means that the Bnei HaChotzer are allowed to put something on the tail, meaning they're allowed to throw something from the ground level onto this tail, is amat. Why should the din be so? Reshus of the Travayu. They both have reshus, meaning both the Bnei HaMirpeses on the higher floor and the Bnei HaChotzer on the lower floor, they both have access to this tail. It's a reshus shel shneim. Whenever you have a reshus shel shneim, then you need an eruv. Or, in other words, it means ze oser al ze. So again, even if our Mishnah is talking about aliyos that are higher up and they are above 10 tefachim above the Mirpeses, nevertheless, we have a situation here of tashmisho kasha lishneim. They both have the same difficulty here in using the tail. The chotzer needs a zrika to throw it up on top and reach the height of asara. And the people in the aliyah, they have to throw it down, but now again we have a case of hafloga, keep in mind. So it's not a matter of throwing it down, it's a matter of throwing it, horizontally. Because, they have to get it not only down, but also horizontally because of the hafloga, because of the distance between the tail and the Mirpeses. So therefore, even according to Shmuel in this case, where he always postulates that Shilshul vis-a-vis Zrika is considered a more noach tashmisho, but not in this case. Because that's a case where you only need shilshul and the other chotzer needs zrika, and that would be a case where the tail is within 4 tefachim of the Mirpeses. But here in this case, we need We need a Shilshul and a Zrika for the Baal HaMirpeses, because not only does he have to sort of lower down the object to reach the top of the tail, but he also has to traverse the Haflaga. And in such a case, then we're going to say Shavenheim. We're going to say they're both equal. In other words, the one fellow on the bottom needs Zrika, the one on the top needs not only Shilshul, but he also needs a kind of a Zrika, because his arm doesn't stretch out a full four Tfachim horizontally. And therefore, we can consider them both B'Shaveh. And therefore, the question always arises, why would the Mishnah then afford or designate this tail for use of the chotzer, elamai lechotzer? So what did the Mishnah mean when it used the word lechotzer, af lechotzer, shnei masurim? So if that's going to be the case, then we can go back to the Reisha and say, hochinami, here too, in the Reisha, there's no objection to Rav, did my lechotzer, what does the word lechotzer mean in the Reisha? It means af lechotzer, shnei masurim, shma minoah. So from the Seifa, we reveal pshat on the Reisha, that both are asurim, and the word af lechotzer means that even the bnei achotzer have access, because the zrika here in this case is coming from the bottom, and according to Rav, the shulshul is coming from the top, meaning from the merpeset. Both are at a disadvantage, and in such a case, we equalize it, and it becomes one rishus. The third rishus, meaning the tail, becomes one rishus for both the top floor and for the ground floor. The Gemara now again raises an objection to Rav, who holds that when you have Lezeb Bezrika v'Lezeb Etil B'Shilshul, they're both Asurim. Let's read the next part of the Mishnah. Tnan, the Mishnah says, Chuyas Habar, which means that after they dig the ditch, there's a pile, a round circle on top of the bar from the ground above, which is called Chuyas Habar. That's where the ground is packed around the top of the bar. And Vasela, all we have a case of a boulder that's standing, located in a chutz, Hashem Gvoim Asara. So again, these are cases, once again, of a third reshus that is higher than 10 tfachim. And therefore, from the perspective of the Bnei Amirpeset, who are on the higher floor, it's Tashmisham Noach, they have easy access. And the Mishnah Paskins, La Mirpeses, we're going to designate this Chulia Sabor, or the Sela, for the Mirpeses. But Pachos Mikan, if it's only 9.9 Tfachim high, this Chulia Sabor, the Sela, is Lechotzer. Then we designate it for the Chotzer. Now the Gemara again thinks that Mirpeses means the Bnei Aliyah, which means that the apartments on the upper floor are higher than this Mirpeses by quite a distance. And nevertheless, the Mishnah says that Chuyas Habar Vasela, if they're above 10 Tfachim, they belong to the Mirpeset. Now, from the perspective of Bnei Aliyah in this Havamina, we're going to need Shilshul to get access to the Chulia or to the Sela. And from the perspective of the Chotzer on the bottom, we need Zrika. Now, according to Rav Shita, when you have Shilshul and Zrika, that sort of cancels each other out. It's a Rishus Shel Shneim, and it's Osur. How could the Mishnah therefore say that we designate the Chulia Sabar or the Sela for the Mirpeses? It's against Rav. Omer Rav Huna. Rav Huna answers, Li Osan Hadorim B'Mirpeses, that the opening of the Alios is the entranceway, goes right directly into the Mirpeses. It's not a case where the Bnei Aliyah need a Shilshul in order to throw it down onto the bar or the Sela, the Chulia Sabar, the Sela, but rather the members of these various apartments, which we call the Aliyah apartments, they go straight out to the Mirpeset, and therefore, in such a case, we consider that the Chulia and the Sela is actually a Pesach, meaning it's Shove, it's equal to the height of the Mirpeses or within four Tfachim in any event, and therefore the Mishnah designates it for the Mirpeset and not for the Chotzer. For the Mirpeset, it's Tashmisha Benachas. For the Bnei Chotzer, it's Tashmisha Bekoshi. They're going to have to use the Zrika in order to get it on top of the Chulia or on top of the Sela. The Gemara says, Tenach Sela, I understand your answer. In the case of a boulder, which is normally 10 tfachim in height, and therefore it's tashmisho noach for the bnei hamirpeses who are on top. However, bar mai ikal neimar. In the case of a bar, the purpose and the use of a bar is to draw water from the bottom of the bar. And a bar is usually more than 10 tfachim deep. So therefore, from the perspective of those who are using the merpeset, it's not tashmisho shove or noach. In other words, you can't just circumvent the need for shilshul. You're going to need a shilshul of more than 10 tfachim in order to take your pail and draw water from the bottom of the cistern. And if that be the case, we see clearly that since the Bnei HaChatzer on the bottom, they have Tashmisho Bezrika, in other words, they cannot have access to the water on the in the bottom of the bar without throwing a Dali from on top, from the ground level, down over the Chulia. They have to throw it over the Chulia so that it lands, you know, with an angle all the way down at the bottom of the bar. On the other hand, the Bnei HaMerpeses, they need what's called Shilshul. And now we're going to compare Zrika to Shilshul. And we're going to apply Shmuel's principle that Shilshul is Noach relative to Zrika. And that's why the Mishnah designates the use of this bar to the Anshei HaMerpeses. But according to you, Rav, it's very difficult. Om Rav Yitzchak Breid Rav Yehuda, Hacha Bebar Milea Maimaskinon. We can apply the principle of mute. And I think you remember that mute means that when you have a distance of 10 tfachim, like for example in a kosel between two chatzeros, and you set up access through, let's say, a ladder or an itzava or any of those things such that you can easily climb up and get access to the top of the kosel, that's called mute, and then we don't consider it as if it's 10 tfachim high. Here also, we're not going to consider, we're going to completely, be mavata, will obliterate the depth of the bar. And why is that? Because hacha bebar malea mayim askinon. We're going to fill up the bar with water. And once we fill up the bar with water, he no longer has to get access to the bottom of the bar. He just has to dip his dli, his pail to the surface level of the bar, and the surface level of the bar is within 10 tfachim in the merpeses. So from the pnei amayim, the surface level of water, up to the merpeset is 9 tfachim, and therefore the Mishnah says that it is a pesach, it's tashmisho noach, as far as the merpeses is concerned. So the Gemara says, kashva chasera. It's true, maybe, that the mayim was full up, you know, the cistern was full up to the brim when you began Shabbos, but now you dig and you draw water from the bar, and now what happens is the level of the water goes down, and now you're going to have a tashmish of shilshul for the bnei merpeset. That's the only way they're going to get down deeper. And the Gemara answers, but this Gemara is going to reject this, but the Gemara answers, kema de chimalia sharia is ki chasra nami sharia. We're going to apply the principle, says the Gemara, of Shabbos kevacha hutra hutra. Since the water was filled to the brim of the top of the bar when we entered into Shabbos, and at that point, therefore, the Bnei HaMerpeset had a permission, a permit to use and draw water from this bar. We're not going to change it on Shabbos and prohibit the use of the bar simply because the water level went down. The Gemara rejects this. Adarabba, kema de chichasra asira, kimalia nami asira. Since you agree that if the water of the bar was not at top level, in other words, as you draw water from the bar, it goes down, and in such a case, let's say, for example, if that had happened on Erev Shabbos, the Bnei HaMerpeset would be asurim, because then again, you're talking about shilshul, which according to Rav, makes it into a shilshul shneim, etc., etc. So therefore, the Gemara says, even when the bar is filled up to the brim, it still should be asur l'shneihem, meaning that the water itself could not serve as a memayit. Why? Because, and again, when I say memayit, I mean from the karkius habar, from the bottom of the bar. Why can't it serve as a Mamayit? We have a rule, a universal rule in Mamayit, that it has to be what's called Kavua. It's got to be permanent in order, like a Sulam, for example. You have to have a certain permanence, like it weighs very heavily, or another sort of permanence. Let's say it's a Davar Sheino Nitol B'Shabbos. Again, all the sugyos that we learned above. And here, we're going to have to classify the Mayim, the water in the bar, as something which is, what word am I using? It's a Davra Nitol. Davra Nitol means it's always going to become Chaser, because as we draw the water from the bar, and the level of the Mayim goes down and down and down, therefore the Mayim cannot serve as a mute. It cannot be Mamayim. El Amar Abaye, the Gemara wants to now offer a second answer, an alternative answer. And the Gemara says, Hacha, the case is Bebar Malea Peros Askinon. The bar is filled with fruits, and the fruits now are serving as Mamayit, because from the top of the bar, where the fruits are on the top layer to the Mirpeses, is less than 10 Tfachim. So the Gemara says, V'achasri, but in the same extent that we said that the Mayim cannot serve as a Mamayit in the 10 Tfachim because it's a Davar Nitol, let's apply the same logic to Peros, because he takes out one pre one at a time. And the Gemara answers, B'tivla, that we're talking about Peros before the Hafroshes Trumas and Maisus, they have the status of Tevel, and Tevel is a Davar Sheino Nitol B'Shabbos. Tevel is Muktza. It's one of those rare cases we have a foodstuff that's mukta, because you cannot eat the food. And food that cannot be eaten is considered mukta. And therefore, these peros on Shabbos will certainly not be chaserim. He's not going to be able to take peros from the top of this bar. And therefore, it's a davar sheino nitol b'Shabbos. It now becomes a permanent memayit. And therefore, the bneach amirpeses are allowed to use the bar. Now again, what does it mean to use the bar? It doesn't mean to take fruits from the top of the bar, because those fruits are tevel and mukta. But it means to put something on top of the peros, and you know, sort of like use the peros as a platform, so to speak, for that which he wants to put there and take away. Is dekanami the ketani? I have a diuk in the Mishnah that would support the fact that this case of bar is a case of tevel. Dumia de sela, because the Mishnah, in one breath, mentions a sela and a bar. A sela is always kavua. It's a massive boulder that cannot be moved. And moreover, it's mukts on Shabbos. That makes it into a davar sheino nitol, and it's mamayit. And that's why we're going to designate the use of the top of the sela for the b'nei amirpeset. But in the case of bar, it's a similar kind of concept. It's also davar kavua. And the reason for that is because it's peros of tevel shma mina. The Gemara now asks, v'lama li l'misna bar, v'lama li l'misna sela. Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to mention both bar and sela? Tzricha, we need both. Diash me'inon sela. If the Mishnah had only told us the name of sela, is the leka l'migzar. In other words, a sela is something that cannot be moved. And therefore, it's permanently located, and we don't have to be choshesh that maybe somebody will move it, and therefore it will no longer be within 10 tfachim, within less than 10 tfachim from the merpeset. Aval bar, ligs up. But in the case of a bar, what are you telling me? That we're only allowing you access to the bar because now it's filled with fruits. And not only that, the fruits have to be tevel. So the Gemara says, Zimnin demalia peris misukanin. You know, if we allow him to get access to the bar because the peros in the bar are tevel, then he might mistakenly take the fruit or use the bar, have access to the bar, even in the case where the peros are misukonim, meaning that they are tikun. Tikun means after afroshes trumas and maisrus tzricha. Therefore, I need the Mishnah to tell me both cases. Toshma. Now the Gemara wants to bring a proof for Ra. From the following Brisa. So the Brisa says, Anshei Chotzer, the people who live on the ground floor, correct? On the ground floor. And the Anshei Aliyah, and those who live in the top floor. Sheshachu velo ervu, and they did not make an erev between them. Is Anshei Achotzer mishtamshim biasara tachtonim. In other words, let's say, for example, there is a kosel that rises up from the ground, and there's what's called a ziz, some sort of a protruding platform that comes out of the kosel. And as far as the Anshei Chatzar are concerned, if this kosel goes up 10 tfachim, and now you have the bottom 10 tfachim and you have the top 10 tfachim. So if you imagine this ziz that comes out of the kosel and it's within 10 tfachim of the bottom floor, the ground floor, then the Anshei Chatzar are allowed to use that platform that juts out of the kosel, because for them it's a Pesach. The Anshei Aliyah are not allowed to use that platform, because for them they need shulshul, because it's below 10 tfachim of the Anshei Amirpeses. And the Anshei Aliyah mishtamshim be'asora helyonim. If the ziz that juts out from the kosel is within 10 tfachim of the elyonim, of those of Bnei Aliyah, and it is also smucha to the Aliyah, it's very close to the Aliyah, then in such case the Anshei Aliyah are allowed to use that platform and that ziz, because it's samach lahem, and that gives them the status of tashmisha v'pesach. The Bnei Achatzer are surim, because they're going to have to use zrika. And the Brisa explains, ketzad, how do we understand this? The Brisa explains, ketzad, ziz hayotzim in a kosel, when this platform juts out of the kosel, anything that's lamata me'asor z'lachotz, lamala me'asor z'laliyah. So it seemed that only the lower tent fachim, or the upper tent fachim, are mutarim. What about a situation where the kosel is more than 20 tfachim high? Ha-beni u-beni. Let's say you have 10 tfachim on the bottom, you have 10 tfachim on the top, and in the middle there is part of the height of the kosel. We'll call it beni u-beni. The implication of the Mishnah is that it's asur, meaning both of them are asur in this case. And that's going to be a proof for Rav, because Rav says that if you have a shulshul situation from the perspective of Bnei Aliyah and a zrika situation from Bnei Achatzer, they're considered equal, and they're one rishus, and therefore they generate an isur one or the other in the absence of an eruv. Whereas Shmuel says that we give it to the shulshul, and here the area that's below 10 tfachim, if I'm going from the top of the kosel at the level of the Bnei Amirpesa, the Bnei Aliyah down, and I dip below 10 tfachim, fine. That's the Beni Ubeni, which was accessible through Shulshul. And that, according to Shmuel, should give superior comfort and use to the Bnei Aliyah. Omer Rav Nachman, Hocha B'Kosel Tishasar Askinon. The case of this Brisa is that the Kosel is 9 Tfachim high, and Ziz Yotze Mimenu, and there's some sort of a platform that connects to this Kosel. And in this case, there's no Beni Ubeni over here. Why? Because there's Asor Tachtonim and there's Asor Elyonim. Correct? You have the 10 Tfachim that are closer to the Chatzah, and another 9 Tfachim that are closer to the Bnei Aliyah, or the opposite. Let's say the Ziz is a little bit lower. It's 9 Tfachim from the ground. So it's 9 Tfachim from the Chatzah and 11 Tfachim from the Bnei Ha'aliyah. And therefore, this would have no relevance to the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, because we're not talking about a case where one has tashmish bezrika and the other bishulshul. The ziz, if it's lamatim, so it's 9 tfachim from the ground, is lazeb bepesach lazeb bishulshul. As far as Bnei Achatzer is concerned, since it's only 9 tfachim high, that's called a pesach. As far as the Bnei Aliyah, it's 11 tfachim down from the top, they need shulshul. Or alternatively, lamalame asara, if it's 11 tfachim high from the ground, this ziz, then lazeb bepesach lazeb bezrika. For the Bnei Aliyah it's bepesach, and for the Bnei Achatzer it's bezrika. And in such a case, then for sure the Braisa makes 100% sense, and there's no diuk here of Beni Ubeni because there is no Beni Ubeni. And here we turn to Daf Pei Dalid Amud Beis. Tashma. We're going to bring another proof, and this is going to be a proof to support Rav, and a kasha on Shmuel. And this is the case of Shtei Gizuz Teros. Now, let me give a little bit of a background for this. I think we, earlier in the Masechta, we touched on this sugya. What happens is you have a building that is actually over the water. You know, it's there's a long piece of ground that's human created that juts out over the water. And you have two apartments in this building that's on this ground that juts out to the water. So below the merpeset of these apartments is the water. Now the water, if you happen to recall, has the status of a karmelis. So to draw water onto the merpeset by lowering a pail directly into the water would be prohibited on Shabbos, because the merpeset has the status of a Rishus HaYochid, and you're not allowed to carry from a karmelis into Rishus HaYochid. The solution to this problem, to permit drawing water on Shabbos from the water, from the Yam, is what's called a Gizuz Teruah. And that means that what they did was, on the Merpeset, on this balcony, so to speak, they would cut out an opening that was 4x4 tfachim. And it was more than 10 tfachim high. And that would give that hole the status of a Rishus HaYochid. And that would mean that when they draw water by placing the pail inside this opening and then drawing the water with a rope, in effect, what happens is that the water is going into a Rishus HaYochid. Just one second, I left out one piece of the puzzle. Okay, just one second. So now, after we make this char, that's this opening, that's 4x4 tfachim, and we have mechitzos of yud tfachim around this char, and we see the mechitzos, I'm sorry, yeah, that's what I was missing, that's called god achis mechitzos. God achis mechitzos means that we have a halacha Moshe Messina teaches us, you can draw walls, you can draw the mechitzos down, in this case, imaginary mechitzos, as if they go all the way down to the surface level of the water, which means that you're basically pulling the water from Rishus HaYochid up into Rishus HaYochid. But now we have a case of Shtei Gizuz Teros, Zu Lamala Mizu. So you have, living in this house, people on the bottom floor and people on the higher floor. And that's called a bias and an aliyah. So you have two dayarim, right? Each one of them has his own gustarah and gizustarah, and that's going to allow them to carry and draw the water from the yam. Now, if they're mechuvanos zu me'al zu, if one is directly on top of the other, and Meshuchos zu keneged zu betoch arba tfachim. In other words, if you would draw a straight line from the bottom to the top, it would, you know, the distance going to the left or to the right would be less than 4 tfachim. Asu, what they did for the gizuz terah ha'el yona, the top one, and in this case, v'lo asu l'tachtona, in other words, the lower dayarim will just simply have to climb up to the next floor in order to draw water. They'll share the bar, the char, I should say, with the Bnei Hel Yona. And together they will want to both draw water. So let's say during a weekday, not on Shabbos, they would both draw water from the El Yona, from the char that we said. And on Shabbos, Shtei Nasuros. They're not allowed to draw water from the Yam on Shabbos because both of them have equal, shall we say, ownership or use. Use would be a better word. Use of this char. They, during the whole week, they share the char. Even though the char is outside the Merpeset El Yonah, but nevertheless, they're all one building and they allow the people from Tachtona to climb up to El Yonah and go on to the Guzuzuz to El Yonah and then draw the water. So therefore, on Shabbos, they both have equal rights to this Rishus HaYochid, and that makes it a Rishus Shel Shneim. And therefore, whenever you have a Rishus that belongs to two people, is Ad Shia Arvu, they're not allowed to use that Rishus unless they set up an Eruv. That's the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is later on in Daf Pei Zayin Omid Beis, and it becomes clear from the Mishnah that if the Bnei El Yonah would be able to use the Char through Shilshul Bilvad, and the Bnei HaTachtona would use the Char for, they need Zrika, then we would not consider that the Tashmish of the Bnei El Yonah is more Noach than the Bnei HaTachtona. They would both be Shavim. Now this is really interesting because the Bnei HaTachtona, in order to get access to this Gezuztera, which is on the El Yonah, they're going to have to do what's called a Zrika. Right? They're going to have to throw, take that rope and throw up the pail to the next floor on top to get it to that Char of the Gezuztera El Yonah. On the other hand, as far as the Dayarim and the El Yonah, all they have to do is open up their door, walk out onto this little balcony, and place the string, the rope with the pail on it, right down below the gustra. That's called shilshul. And now we have a kash on Shmuel because this Mishnah really supports Rav. You have two people, the Tachtona that has access to the Char, to the Gezuzra El Yonah through Zrika. You have the Bnei Aliyah on the top gustra. They have access through shilshul. And those two are both equally balanced, so to speak. They both are like negative in the comfort zone, and therefore Osrim Zel Zeh. That's what the Mishnah says, Shtei Masus Hachiya Arvu. Whereas according to Shmuel, when we have a choice, a battle, a confrontation between Shilshul and Zrika, we always give it to the Shilshul. And therefore the Bnei El Yonah should have exclusive rights, even in the absence of an Eruv, to use the Gezuzra El Yonah in order to put the pail down that little chute that they've created, that char. Omer av adavar ava, biboin b'nei atachtona derech aliyah. We're talking about a case where the b'nei atachtona have a ladder and they just simply climb up the ladder in order to get access to the Gezuzra El Yonah, in order to draw water. And therefore, both the El Yonah and the Tachtona are going to use this Char, Derech Shilshul. And the difficulty here in understanding Rav Adabar Ava is that it's true that once the Bnei HaTachtona climb up the ladder, they're only going to need a Shilshul like the Bnei El Yonah once they get onto the Gezuzra El Yonah. But nevertheless, you would think that they have to put in that extra effort, that they have to climb the ladder. But that's not a factor. That's not something that cashes in over here, but rather both the El Yonah and the Tachtona are using the effort to draw the water through what's called Shilshul, and therefore they're both equal, and even according to Shmuel, it's Shtein Asuros. Abai Omer, Abai gives a alternative answer, Kigon Dekaimin Besoch Asura Da'adodi. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the height, the distance between the two Gezuzteros is less than 10 tfachim. And it means that you have an apartment that's lower, an apartment that's on the left side that's slightly higher, but very slightly higher. So they're both within 10 tfachim. Now, when you have two chatzeros, and there's nothing, and there's no 10 tfachim distance between the two of them, then Abaye Shita is, they become one reshus. And it works like this, according to Abai. When do we apply the principle that Shmuel has. That if you have a third Rishus, and you have two Rishus that are vying, so to speak, we used to play as a child a game called Snatch the Bag, right? So if these two Rishuyos are vying for that third Rishus, then Shilshul trumps Zrika, according to Shmuel. Why? Because we have to determine where that third Rishus belongs. It belongs either to Rishus A, for example, of the Bnei Aliyah, or Rishus B, the Bnei Achatzar on the ground floor. And in this case, it's going to be, according to Shmuel, belonging to the Aliyah, because their use is more comfortable. They have a Shilshul use, whereas the bottom Chatz has a Zrika use. But that's only because you have two Rishuyos, separate one from the other, that are vying for ownership over the third Rishus. Says Abaye, that only applies when we have two separate Rishuyos, when there's a distance between the top Rishus and the bottom Rishus of 10 Tvachim. But if they're within 10 Tvachim, it's all considered one Rishus. And if it's considered one Rishus, then we don't have the right, even according to Shmuel, to direct the third Rishus to what? I mean, you can't direct, you can't conquer the third Rishus and Kielu make a kinyan on it and be mishtalet on it if there's one Rishus. There's no two Rishuyos over here. And Abaye is now going to explain why the Mishnah sets up the case of Shtei Gusro, Zu al Gabi Zu, in a situation where it's only the Elyona that created the Chor, and not the Tachtona. Lomi Boy Ka'amar. The Mishnah wants to tell you a Chiddush by going from what we call Zu V'ein Tzarech Lomar Zu. In other words, I'm going to tell you that case, which is more of a chiddush, and I don't even have to tell you the case that's less of a chiddush. So here's what the Tana of the Mishnah has in mind. Lo mi boy, I don't even have to discuss the case of Asu l'tachtona v'lo Asu l'elyona, where it was the bottom gezusterah that created this chor, and not the elyona dasire. And why is that? That goes without saying, and I don't even need Abaye's breakthrough of chiluk reshuyos, etc., etc. Is the cave of the Begoa Asara da Dodi Kaimon is Asrana Dodi. In other words, now what we have is we have two Gezusteros that are Smuchos Vyomdos, they both are within Asara Tfachim one to the other on the height of the Kosel. And again, they're within four Tfachim of the Kosel. And now they both have an equal access and comfortable use of the Chor. Both of them are going to use it through Shilshul. In other words, the Elyona is going to lower his pail down to the Techtona, and they both are going to lower that pail through that Chor and the Techtona down to the Mayan, down to the Yam. And in that case, they're both using and drawing the water through Shilshul. And therefore, everybody agrees, and that goes without saying, that's Lomi Boy. The Mishnah didn't even have to tell you that case, because that's Shilshul plus Shilshul, which is like a case where they're equal, and therefore they don't generate an Iser one on top of the other. Ela Filu, even in the case of Osul Elyona Velo Osul Tachton, the Mishnah wants to tell you a greater Chish, that even though the Chor was on the Elyona, not on the Tachtona, and Salka, Daitachah, I mean, if not for the Mishnah, I would have thought. Kevan de la Zeh, Benachas v'lazeh b'kosher. Since, as far as the Elyona is concerned, it's nachas. He just walks out of his house onto his veranda, and he does the shilshul, and he draws the water. But as far as the tachton is concerned, b'kosher, he needs both zrika and shilshul. He's got to throw it up on top of the Elyona, then lower the pail into the chor down to the water with a shilshul. Is leisve lozesh etashmisho benachas. I would have thought that in this case we should certainly designate the use of the pail and the water and the chor and drawing the water from the yam to the one who's got the gezusra on his own porch, meaning the elyona. He's got tashmish benachas, whereas the tachton, as we said before, he needs a double header. He needs number one Zrika, and then the Shilshul. and therefore certainly we should designate and be matir the use of this gusra as far as the Elyon is concerned. But the Mishnah has a greater chiddush, and that chiddush is that kevon dibgo asara kaimon is asran adadi, since the distance between the Gusra Elyona and the Gusra Tachtona is less than 9 tefachim, therefore Abai's principle kicks in, and we merge them into one Rishus, and whenever we merge the two Chatzeres into one Rishus, then where it's called Osrin Zel Zeh, and we're not going to apply the principle of Zeh Tashmisho B'Nachas, because Zeh Tashmisho B'Nachas, as we mentioned earlier, only applies when you have two Rishuyos, and they're fighting over that third Rishus. So the one who has Tashmisho B'Nachas gets that third Rishus. But here in a case that both Rishuyos are within 10 Tfachim, one of the other, therefore, we generate an Iser of Lo Re'uyos, and therefore Osrim Zelze. And Abai wants to bring a proof. Ki ha, the Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, he has an analogy to another case of Gag HaSomach L'Shus HaRabim. Now, here's a case where you have a chotzer on the bottom floor, but it's open on one side, directly accessible to the Bnei Rishus HaRabim. And then you have the bottom floor of this house, you have an upper floor which has a merpeses, and on top there's a Gag. There's a roof. Now, the Bnei Rishus HaRabim also are allowed to use that roof. They have access to that roof. The roof is more than 10 tefachim above the Rishus HaRabim, but there's a merpeset that shoots out a balcony from the top floor. And through that merpeset, you're able to climb up to the roof. And from the merpeset to the roof is less than 10 tefachim. So therefore, if this merpeset is less than 10 tefachim up from the ground, from the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, and less than 10 tefachim up to the Gag, then we have to do something to exclude the Gag from the use of the merpeset, of the Gag. I'm sorry, to exclude the Rishus HaRabim from the use of the Gag, because otherwise we're going to have different Rishios that are vying for use of the same Gag, and that's going to generate an Iser of Osrim Zelze. So Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, Tzorach Sulam Kavua Lahatiro. In order to avoid the Bnei Rishus Rab, to cut them out and exclude them from access and use of the Gag, what we need is to set up a ladder. We'll see in a minute about that ladder, what the nature of that ladder is. And that ladder will give access from the Elyona, from the top apartment, all the way up to the roof, Lahatiro, such that now the Bnei Aliyah have exclusive rights to use the Gag. And basically, by putting up this ladder, they are being mesalek the Bnei Rishus HaRabim from the Gag. Why? Because the ladder is inside the house. So they go up from the inside of the building up to the Gag, and they exclude the Rishus HaRabim. Now, The statement of Shmuel says that the sulam has to be a sulam kavua. It's got to be there on a permanent basis. So the Gemara says the following. Sulam kavua in, sulam aroi lo. If they would only put a temporary kind of ladder over there, that would not be effective to be matir use on Shabbos of the Bnei Aliyah onto the Gag. Because since this ladder is what's called omeid lesiluk. It's going to be removed. Therefore, it's not enough to exclude the Bnei Rishus HaRab. My timer. So Gemara says, why do you need the sulam kavua? Meaning in the absence of the sulam kavua, of the permanent sulam, the Bnei Aliyah are not allowed to use the Gag on Shabbos. After all, their access to the Gag is benachas, because from the merpeses up to the Gag is less than 10 tefachim. Whereas the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, they have tashmisham b'kasha, they have a difficult access to the roof, because the roof is more than 10 tefachim above the Rishus HaRab. So therefore we should have designated the use of the Gag to the Bnei Aliyah, even if the Sulam is Eino Kavu, it's only Arroi. And the answer must be, says Abaye, Lav Mishum Tekevon Debitoch Asarad Hadodi Kaimi Asri Hadodi. Since the Merpeset is within 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRab, therefore the Merpeset and the Rishus HaRab are basically one Rishus, because they're within 10 tefachim. That's Abaye's principle. And therefore, the Bnei Rishus HaRabim generated an Iser of use of the Gag, of the roof, because there's no Chiluk Rishuyos. And that's what we're going to apply in our case of the Mishnah of Gizus Taroz, that the Tachtona, who's within 10 tefachim of the Elyona, is therefore they generated an Iser on the Char of the Gizusra Elyona, even though the Gezusra Elyona has use of the water, drawing water to the bar, if Shilshul, and that's all he needs, Shilshul, whereas the Bnei HaTachtona will need both Zrika and Shilshul. So the Gemara says, Maskif le Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, I can easily deflect your proof, your analogy, Abaye, Vidilma, because the reason why the Bnei Rishus Rav generated an Issa on the Gag, of use of the Gag for the Bnei Aliyah, is not because the Merpeses is within 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, but rather Ksharabim Mekatvin Olav Bekumta V'Sudra, that the Bnei Rishus HaRabim during the weekday, they tend to, because as we said at the outset, they have also permission to use the Gag. So what they do is they put on top of the Gag their wet turbans from their head, or that's called sudra, is a turban, kumto is some sort of a kova, and what they do is they lay it out on top of the roof in order to dry it in the sun. So therefore, it's considered tashmisho benoach, because they have constant use, the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, of this Gag, therefore they generate an Iser on the Gag. But if not for the fact that it was Tashmisho Benachas, then the Gag would not be also because to the Bnei Aliyah because of the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, simply because they're both within 10 tefachim. So we're going to end here. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Bar, Shebein, Shtei, Chatzeros, and Amir Tzashem, tomorrow, Daf Pehei, we will begin the Sugya of Bar, Shebein, Shtei, Chatzeros.